The Old Testament reading for the day of Pentecost is from Numbers chapter 11. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From the book of Acts, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. The hymn of the day is hymn number 497. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I was born in 1963. I grew up in the 60s and 70s and matured in the 80s. Like many of you, I have seen a great deal of societal strain over the course of my lifetime. The world can turn tumultuous in an instant. In 2004, the day after Christmas, a horrific tsunami killed 250,000 people. In 2001, Islamic terrorists changed our way of life. Some of our most promising and charismatic leaders have been assassinated. The massacre at Columbine High School has opened a floodgate of murder episodes that are horrific. And we are presently in a crucible that will leave a pronounced scar upon the soul of many. The coronavirus has infiltrated our society, bringing death and the fear of death. The ensuing lockdown has had an economic and psychological effect that has wrought its own type of havoc. And just as we are about to pull out of this crisis, we have come face to face with a new and most unwelcome form of upheaval. Make no mistake, this is our society. Even the most buoyant personality is heavy laden by the events that are beginning to pile on. That's the context in which we gather here, in our courtyard, the courtyard of Christ the King, on the day of Pentecost, 2020. And it's no small thing that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit on the infant church 50 days after our Lord's resurrection. And to celebrate what lies hidden beneath this day, to enjoy and treasure it, to recognize properly, to exult in what lies present but hidden beneath this day, requires something of you. What does it require? Discernment. A musical group popular in my youth asked a series of questions, calling the listener to evaluate their ability to discern. They asked, So you think you can tell? Heaven from hell, blue skies from pain. Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail, a smile from a veil? And the lyrics may have been a snarky jibe at those who had lost their ability to tell the difference between the pure and the defiled. You're a Christian, and you're living in a very troubled moment. Can you discern the reality between a broken creation And the God who invades this fallen world to give you his Son's Spirit, to give you his Holy Spirit, the one who invades this fallen world to recreate it by his Son's death and resurrection. Do you see with the eyes of faith that God's work is no less pronounced, no less efficacious, no less dynamic in troubling moments like ours than when rainbows shine from sea to shining sea? Discernment, as odd as it seems, it is the Holy Spirit himself who opens the eyes of your heart to see the operation of the Holy Spirit precisely in times when we need to see him the most. Martin Luther had a line, a remark about the Holy Spirit, which I would like very much for you to memorize today, to take with you today, a line which you do well to remind yourself of this week. And it's simple. The Holy Spirit is no skeptic. That's the line. Memorize it. Incorporate it into your mind, your heart, your perspective. The Holy Spirit is no skeptic. A skeptic is one who hedges, one who hems and haws, one who sows seeds of uncertainty, one who calls into question even the most obvious truths. The Holy Spirit is no skeptic. He makes assertions, declarations. He conveys divine truth. He brings certainty. The Holy Spirit, whom God has caused to live in you, think of what the Lord and giver of life possesses and what he brings to bear on you. At creation, the Holy Spirit brooded over the waters as God's word was unleashed. The Holy Spirit hovered over all that God brought forth on the first day as life erupted out of lifelessness. He was there with the Father, with the Son, as his eternal plan to give up himself was realized, making man in his own image. The Son's pre-incarnate image, the Holy Spirit, is no skeptic. All the brilliance of the Genesis of the universe of which you are a part, that brilliance is a part of his knowledge, his experience. The Holy Spirit knows eternity. He knows the first day, and he knows humanity. He knows you. And just as he hovered over the waters at creation, the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary. He overshadowed Mary. On that great and glorious day, the Holy Spirit oversaw the conception of the Lord Christ for redemption, for the salvation of the world, so that God might dwell with man and man might dwell in heaven. The Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, gave new life to humanity. The Holy Spirit is no skeptic. He knows that event. He treasures that event, that divine movement when the Son of God was incarnated in our flesh. And the Holy Spirit asserts the veracity of that event to the whole world without condition. Conviction. Christian conviction comes from the Holy Spirit, and it is centered on the person of Jesus Christ. In the tumult of life lived out in this world, the Holy Spirit comes to convey to sinful man the realities that address the ills that we face, the ills that are in us. And the Holy Spirit doesn't come with opinions. They're not conjecture about who Christ is or what he has done. But he comes to us with holy conviction to convey unyielding truth. Have you felt the unwavering certainty that Christ has died for your sins? Have you celebrated with unequaled joy the wonder of the resurrection and what that means for us all? I know that you have. Where do you suppose that comes from? Where do you suppose that your Christian conviction comes from? The Holy Spirit is no skeptic. And you're a sinner. You've been taught to pray that God would not take His Holy Spirit from you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free spirit. You know what the loss of the Holy Spirit would do to you. Your eyes would be blind to the glory of God in the crucified flesh of Christ. Your heart would no longer burn to hear the wonder of God's love expressed in His willingness to bear your sin and die your death. The grace of God would no longer inspire you to love Him above all things and to love your fellow man as yourself. Your mouth would no longer hunger and thirst for righteousness, Christ's righteousness in His body and blood. Apart from the Holy Spirit, you would no longer repent of your sin. You would live as a pig in the pig pen, indulging every wanton desire, putting no one truly above yourself. What a horrible life that would be. What a horrible and empty life that would be. Have you not been redeemed from all that? The Holy Spirit has brought you from death to life, converting you from unfaith to faith, washing you in Christ's blood, and He directs your footsteps every day that your believing heart beats. The Holy Spirit is no skeptic, and He lives in you. How blessed you are! How highly favored each of you is! The Holy Spirit descended upon our Lord at His baptism, marking Him as God's anointed, the Christ. And the Holy Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the desert where He fasted. And He endured the assault of the evil one, being tempted mercilessly by the father of lies. And the Holy Spirit saw that victory, Christ's victory over Satan in the wilderness. And that Spirit comes to you with that victory when you are tempted. The Holy Spirit is no skeptic, and He knows what the Son has done. The triumph of the cross, the Holy Spirit was active there as well. He takes what is Christ's, He declares it to you, and what is that? Victory. And I'll grant you that on Good Friday, that victory was difficult to discern. That bloody victory was lost upon the eyes of sinful man. The world seemed to be coming unglued. The sun refused to shine. The earth shook. Men were calling good evil and evil good. But a centurion spoke what his eyes saw, the eyes of his heart. Surely this was the Son of God. And you know that Scripture says that no one can say that Jesus is Lord apart from the Holy Spirit. And there are different mouths, but the same Spirit, yours and the centurion's. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. That is you. Discernment, what God demands, God provides. The Holy Spirit has opened the eyes of your heart to see what is hidden but present. The seal of Christ's tomb has been shattered, and life comes cascading out of his grave. He is risen. The Holy Spirit is no skeptic, and the church confesses boldly what God has revealed, in season and out of season. We confess that the Holy Spirit is in the world to unite sinners to Christ. We confess this when the world is relatively calm and when cities burn with riots and a plague visits humanity. Discernment. You're called upon to see and to bear witness to the work of the Spirit in our age. His church is his creation. The fire of love is coming to bear on us. He makes our hearts his place of rest. We are the recipients of his remarkable fidelity to us. He consoles us, uplifts us, grants us courage and peace. Pentecost has come, and we are the greater for it. May we discern his work, the work of the Holy Spirit, now and always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now rise to confess the faith that the Spirit has breathed into us.